Do you remember Nobel laureate Bob Dylan's song, "Everybody Must Get Stoned"? The first verse goes, well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. I know that might be the first time you've actually heard the verses because it's not in Bob Dylan's tone of voice. Many people assume that that song is about smoking pot and getting high. But Bob Dylan insists otherwise. In a 2012 interview with Rolling Stone magazine, he said, "Those people aren't familiar with the Book of Acts." He was talking about that passage that Michael read today. He was talking about the fact that Stephen was doing all manner of wonderful things, helping people in the community, and that drew the ire of the powers that be. Earlier in Acts, Stephen was called to distribute food and goods among the widows of the community, called to distribute the community's resources so that everyone would be taken care of, so that there would not be a single person in the community who was hungry, that there would not be anyone who went without. In doing so, he grows in stature and respect. The Spirit is alive and working through him. And this garners the attention of the authorities who fear the growing Christian movement. In our passage today, the people act out on their fears, stoning Stephen to death. Just before he dies, he cries out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Friends, Nobel laureate Bob Dylan had it right when he talks about the Christian life. Everybody must get stoned. Friends, we need to be willing to be stoned. I look out at our congregation today at the countless men and women who served our country at tremendous cost, those who put the well-being of others ahead of their own in our country's own armed forces, as well as those who did so at the bedsides of numerous friends and even strangers as they died in the early years of the AIDS crisis. We have members who've told me of their mothers feeding hobos during the Depression, despite barely having enough food to feed their own children, as well as those who've sacrificed thousands of hours and even more resources to grow the housing ministries that this church is rightfully so proud of. I look out at so many of you today who have sacrificed profoundly. And then I look at our public discourse, look at who we elect and what our society values, and say, we need more people who are willing to get stoned. More people who are willing to stick their necks out for others. We need to teach our children, once again, that the common good is of higher value than personal gain. In her biography of Voltaire, Evelyn Beatrice Hall wrote, "I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death the right for you to say it." This quote is often lifted up as a rallying cry for the right to free speech, but even more than free speech, I believe that it speaks to something that our society has lost: a willingness to sacrifice for others, an understanding that a meaningful life is marked not by self-satisfaction and possession, but rather by one's participation in the common good. There will be consequences for making the world a better place. It very well may not be popular. The powers that be are invested in the world continuing to work the way that it does. And so it is countercultural for us to work together for the common good. As our country comes together to celebrate Independence Day this weekend, as we wave flags in celebration of the land of the free, it's important that we as Christians ask ourselves how our faith informs our public existence. This isn't about politics, it's about ethics. It's about foundational principles at the very core of who we are. Quite simply, do you make existence here on earth more like heaven for someone else? Mark Twain once said, "History doesn't repeat itself, but often it rhymes." As people who claim to have dedicated ourselves to following Jesus, I ask you, does your life rhyme with his? Melanie Tubbs, a Methodist pastor and writer in Arkansas, describes our current social climate as this: "The last few months have been hard for many of us. We wake up day to day not knowing how the world we know will have changed since we fell asleep the night before. The amount of hatred and violence we see is almost surreal. And our government is in chaos. The Constitution, which has always kept us from drifting too far from center, is disregarded, and truth and facts are not required. Many of those perpetuating the lying, hatred, and chaos are doing so as proclaimed Christians, and many of us who proclaim to be Christians are fighting to keep our faith amidst it all." I see a lot of heads nodding. On this 4th of July weekend, 2017, so little of what those of us born in this country have taken for granted can be taken for granted any longer. So what are we to do? What, as followers of Jesus, are we to do? We are to do unto others as we would have done unto us. We are to make the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives and in all human relations. We are to look on the poor, the vulnerable, and the downtrodden, the other, and we are to treat them as Christ. We are to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. We are to do all of that, knowing that it may lead to our stoning, may lead to people cursing and reviling and saying all sorts of nasty things about us in God's name. And, like Stephen, in the midst of all of that, we are to call on God's blessing on those who persecute us. In the 1960s, African-American communities across the country developed what they called freedom schools. They realized that there were important aspects of their history and their values and their culture that hadn't been being taught to their children. And so they created schools to address those gaps in their personal and their community's education. We are at a time of crisis again, and freedom school models might have something to teach us. It's up to us to educate ourselves and our children on the central values that we hold most dear. And perhaps just as important, it is up to us to create a society that values those things as well. Central to the values of Independence Day are the common good and sacrifice, values that we need more than ever. As we celebrate this week, let us also commit ourselves to being and teaching what we hold to be self-evident, not only that we are all created equal, but also that the true measure of a society is how we treat the most vulnerable among us. May it be so.